Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Greene, Iowa, and today is Sunday, February 21st, the first Sunday in the season of Lent. Our gospel reading for this weekend comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from the one in whom we live and move and have our being, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you've been paying close attention to worship over the last 6 weeks or so, this gospel story might sound really familiar. Just 6 weeks ago, we heard this same story of Jesus' baptism, even from Mark's gospel. We've heard this. The first time we read it, though, we stopped at verse 11, with Jesus hearing the voice from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And that's a great place to stop. It looks like everything is going well. Jesus is starting his ministry, he's been baptized, God has affirmed he's on the right track, everything's good. Today, we get the rest of the story, the rest of Jesus' introduction to ministry, the follow-up to his baptism, and it's a very different feeling. No sooner does Jesus come up out of the water and hear that message of affirmation from God than the Spirit immediately drives him out into the wilderness where he's tempted by Satan. Jesus' baptism story feels a little bit different when it's followed by wilderness and temptation, doesn't it? It's good for us to hear these two stories together, because sometimes people convert to Christianity and they get this idea that becoming a Christian is going to fix all their problems, that they won't struggle with sin anymore. Sometimes we think, even those of us who have been in the church for a long time, we think that when things aren't going well, well, we just need to get back to church, because maybe then God will just make things fall into place. And I wish that were true, but it's not. It's clear from Jesus' example, baptism doesn't solve everything. But baptism does give us a foundation to persevere through the struggles, through the challenging times. As Jesus finds out, being in the wilderness is hard. But he had the strength to make it through those 40 days because of what happened in his baptism right before this, because of the encouragement given to him by God, because of the identity declared to him at baptism. I don't know how you picture this story with the voice from heaven, but especially the way Mark tells it, the heavens being torn apart and the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and a voice from heaven, they're not a sign for the crowd gathered there to watch. They're a sign for Jesus. Maybe the crowd could hear and see, maybe not. But Mark says Jesus could hear and see. So all of this is encouragement for Jesus. It's affirmation from his heavenly Father that he's on the right track. And it's on the strength of his baptism, fueled by knowing his true identity, "This is my Son," fueled by knowing his mission, that Jesus makes it through the wilderness. And even so, the wilderness challenged Jesus. Wilderness is a place of disruption on the outskirts, outside of civilization. Wilderness is a place of isolation and uncertainty. In one sense, 40 days doesn't sound very long. If you're watching this on Sunday, Easter is 6 weeks from today. That's about 40 days, 42 days, I think. But when you're in the wilderness, when you don't have food, when you're under attack, when you're uncertain about the future, I imagine 40 days feels like an eternity. Maybe you've experienced times in life when even tomorrow, even one day away or 2 days away, feels uncertain. And so even after a vision from heaven, I imagine it's hard to hold on to a promise when you don't see evidence of its fulfillment. And also, from Jesus' perspective, I don't see any indication from the text that he knew his time in the wilderness would end after 40 days. 40 is a good biblical number. It's the number of years the Israelites wandered in the desert in search of their promised land. 40 is the number of days that it rained while Moses was on the ark. So maybe Jesus had some idea or some hope. Maybe he had 40 marked on his calendar. But then 3 is also a perfectly good biblical number, or 7 is a pretty good biblical number. God created the world in 7 days. I'm convinced that people can endure just about any struggle if you know there's an end date. You can put up with anything for a minute, right? And if you can endure for a minute, maybe you can endure for an hour. And if you can endure for an hour, then maybe a day. And if you can make it a day, then, well, you get the idea. But it's a lot harder when you can't see the end, when the light at the end of the tunnel isn't visible. And we've experienced that, obviously, in the last year with the pandemic. Remember 2 weeks to stop the spread? We could handle that. There was an end date. But then it kept going. And it's still going. And now we're finally at a point where the end is starting to seem more attainable, like maybe we're reaching the edge of the wilderness, but we're not sure yet. We still don't have a date when this is going to be over. And not just the pandemic. I heard somebody in Texas in an interview a couple days ago talking about how the hardest part for her is not knowing when she'll get power and water back, when things will be okay again. Not knowing is hard. And often we don't know in the middle of a time of crisis, in the middle of a challenge, in the wilderness. So imagine Jesus out there alone, questioning everything, trying to remember what that voice from heaven sounded like, trying to hold on to that vision he'd seen, to that sense of God's Spirit coming upon him, tempted to turn his back on his calling. And none of the Gospels give us details about what the wilderness was like for Jesus, which gives us the space to fill in our own wilderness times, our own temptations, our own times of trial. So more details might be nice, but Mark's typical brevity invites us to think about our own times in life where we don't know what's next. When we're on the edge of society, when we're isolated, alone, struggling. And of course, what you're struggling with is different for you than it is for me. So you can fill in the blanks with the temptations that you wrestle with. Maybe it's feeling sometimes like your work doesn't matter, or that you can't live up to someone's expectations, or even that you can't live up to your own expectations. Maybe it's life not working out the way you anticipated. Perhaps it's times of struggling after the loss of a parent or a friend or even a child, or friends turning their back on you, feeling overwhelmed by work or school. Maybe the temptation for you is to take the easier path, to give up on working for justice or whatever inspires you, to working on loving your neighbors, to give up even on faith, to deny our calling. Most of us, I dare say, have had moments in life, and by moments I mean anything from long nights lying awake to weeks or even years, whole seasons of life. We've had those times where we feel attacked, disconnected, unable to make progress. In those times of being in the wilderness in your own life, I wonder, where do you get encouragement to keep going? What are the means by which God speaks to you? I'm guessing it's not a loud voice and a vision from heaven. Maybe it is, and that's wonderful, but I'm guessing it's probably not. So where do you find God reminding you of who you are, declaring to you that you too are a beloved child of God? One way, perhaps the primary way, is by doing what you're doing right now, by being part of a church congregation, part of a family of fellow believers who also go through wilderness times. Even if it's not in person right now, we need to keep joining together in worship, keep supporting each other, to keep being reminded, to keep hearing the good news that we are in this together as the body of Christ. We're here to support each other. Another even more core way, even more central way to hear from God is to read and study God's Word. And again, we're doing some of that right now, but I really hope that you open the Bible more than once a week. Mark doesn't give us these details, but in Matthew and Luke's account of this story, go read it in your Bible if you want to, in their accounts, Jesus pushes back against Satan's temptations by quoting from Scripture, by drawing from God's Word. Or often that encouragement for us comes from other believers. Whether or not they're in this congregation, it's important to have those meaningful faith conversations with friends, with family, to be able to discuss what God is doing in your life and to encourage one another. The Christian journey is not meant to be lived alone. Or especially during Lent, daily devotions, intentional time can help you keep on track as daily reminders of God's love and care for you. We have some printed ones you can get here at church or they come in the newsletter. I personally do much better with daily emailed devotions than I do with paper ones. Somehow I always misplace the paper ones or forget to actually, you know, open it. I do much better with emailed ones, so I'm happy to recommend some emailed devotions to you if that's something you'd be interested in. Just let me know. The point is to pay attention to what God is telling you, to pay attention, to listen to who God says you are. Satan's attacks most often look like challenging your sense of identity, and the counterattack is to hold on to the promise given to you in baptism. Martin Luther, during some of his most challenging times in the wilderness, what he called dark nights of the soul, he wrote that he comforted himself by repeating, "I am baptized. I am baptized." He'd repeat that out loud to remind himself of that truth. Two final points. First, as much as we go through wilderness times as individuals, and many of us are right now, we also go through wilderness times as a congregation, and I think that we're in one right now. We are in uncharted territory with lots of obstacles facing us right now, and we don't know how long we'll be out here in the wilderness of pandemic, the wilderness of disconnection, the wilderness of apathy, and all the other challenges we're facing. But the solution is the same for us as a congregation as it is for individuals. Remember who we are as the body of Christ. Remember our baptismal identity. And finally, did you notice what else was out there in the wilderness? Satan was out there to tempt Jesus, but who else? Wild beasts and angels. And I assume the wild beasts are meant to represent how scary the wilderness is, rather than being some kind of a Tarzan situation. They're part of the threat. But also, even in the wilderness, God's angels are present. There are messengers from God there. Even in the loneliest places, God's agents are still working. God is present even in the most grim times. Hold on to that. On this Lenten journey, take comfort that Jesus has been in the wilderness. And even in the darkest times, God is still present with you. May you find strength in your own baptismal identity, knowing that God has declared that you too are beloved, and with you, God is well pleased. Amen.